You're listening to your independent contractor MBA podcast with David and Kane. Kane, I'm going to give you this one opportunity to defend your lover, Kyrie Irving. Go.
Yeah, I mean, if KD can't get to him, I don't have a shot. Let's be honest.
Okay, let's take a step back. We're about a week away from the NBA start of the NBA season, and checking the news right now, as far as I can see, Kyrie still has not received any vaccination shot. And that means, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be a part-time player. Should Joe Tsai be paying full salary for a part-time player?
Yeah, it was like a part-time rate. I think there, I feel like there's a few ways to look at this. And I think you can look at it through the lens of like a pessimist, an optimist, a cynic, and like, I don't know, a realist or something like that. And to me, I'm not that optimistic about Kyrie. Like, I think the optimistic view is that he will get the vaccine eventually. Like, he will relent at some point. He will say, we have championship aspirations. I want to be part of the team. And KD has convinced Kyrie to do it. That's the optimistic. Pessimistic is that he doesn't like get the vaccine at all. And he attempts to be a part-time player, like only plays away games, like because he can't play in New York. We should just specify that. New York, it's not the Brooklyn Nets won't let him. It's the state of New York and Canada, I believe, and LA that won't let Kyrie or any unvaccinated player play indoors. And yeah, that's just the sad part. Like, he's a part-time player and just won't work because he doesn't practice with the team. He doesn't like build chemistry. Steve Nash is just gonna say like, oh, okay, hey, we're playing in Milwaukee today. Kyrie is playing, is starting this week, and then like, I don't know, Joe Harris, I guess, would be like, what the fuck? Because I you know, that, as or maybe Patty Mills is like, you know, what the hell? I'm playing all these other games. Like, why is Kyrie starting with me? Like, who is this guy? And like, for me, I'm a very cynical person, so I just think he is not. I think he's not going to get it, basically. But some part of me thinks like he has it, like he's just not telling people, like it's just some big cover up that, like some big point he's trying to make that he doesn't have to reveal medical information to the media. Like, it's not like the media's responsibility to find out his vaccination status, and he's just doing this whole thing to make a point, very stupidly if that is the case. But I just think he will just never get it, and he, I don't know, like he'll retire, or the Nets will finally trade him for, I don't know, Dylan Brooks or some like weird player, and then that's the end of Kyrie. It's like, because there's never been like, because obviously we've never had a pandemic of this level in our.
I don't blame it on a pandemic, please.
For a few generations, and this is just unprecedented territory that a player would be so. Stubborn to hear science, basically. And I know Kyrie is famously anti-science, but this is different. And I'll explain why I think it's different, but I want to hear your opinion on this.
You're being a little bit generous by saying that he'll miss the home games and the games in New York, because as far as I know right now, California also has vaccine rules.
Yeah, that's California too.
And as we know,
and Canada.
And Canada. Okay, so
I can't play Toronto.
Right now, you've got the Raptors. Then in California, you add the Kings. You add the Lakers. You add the Clippers. You add the Golden State Warriors.
So five easy wins with or without Kyrie, doesn't matter. Those are W's okay. Already. But yeah.
Oh, you just calm down. Okay, we'll talk about my Lakers later. You know, there's a real possibility he's going to miss 60%, 65%, 70% of the games just off the bat.
Sure.
The latest is that he can practice with the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, so I'll give you that. That makes it a little bit better.
That's a non-issue, though. I don't count that because who practice? This is a veteran team. They don't practice. You know, they're playing every other day. They're not going to be practicing like 5-on-5. Like, that's not where the chemistry is going to build. The chemistry is going to build on court.
I think we're giving Kyrie too much credit around his skills. I mean, even though he's a top skilled player, you can't just expect someone playing every other week to be in the same conditioning, to be in the same rhythm as someone who's playing every day and practicing every day, like a Patty Mills.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm not optimistic. I can't buy into that rhythm.
It's an open question whether a non-practicing, non-engaged Kyrie is in fact a better player and a better option on the court than a Patty Mills and or whoever else you get. Because on this team, it's not like we need to rely on Kyrie for 80% of the possessions, right? He's going to have to fit in anyway. And I much rather have a player who's fitted into the system throughout the season than someone just like plug and go.
Yeah, well, let's forget. Okay, I mean, that's obvious. Like, I don't want to get into the basketball because this is not a basketball issue. Like, obviously, right? This is a guy that is unwilling to do right by the team, basically. Because we know the rest of the team got vaccinated because they play in New York and they were all there at the games and they've been at practice and stuff like that. And Kyrie on media day is the only one notably absent, except he's got like the iPad screen on like a... on a Segway, kind of like roaming.
Was he on a Segway? Oh my God.
That's Kyrie's.
Jesus Christ.
It was like that kind of like two-wheeled sort of like hover bike.
Are you serious?
It's not a basketball issue to me. It's not a basketball issue. It's a guy that is being super selfish. And like, obviously I agree with you. Like all those things, like you can't play that. You can't have him like that way as a plug and play player. Like it won't work. Like my issue is, I mean, I've always defended Kyrie because I've always thought his skills are second to none in terms of like what he's good at, which is like dribbling, offensive skill set, just being a super flashy player. I don't think anyone matches Kyrie's imagination and creativity on the court. And those
maybe
other,
too much imagination.
And those other things that he was touting, like just general anti-science bullshit, I could get past because it wasn't like it was hurting anyone. Like if you believed in what he said, like that's on you. You're just a dumb person that would believe what Kyrie is.
How's that on me? He's telling...
Not you. No, I'm saying you as in like that's on the person that believes, you know, that would buy into an athlete's opinion kind of thing like that. Like
that's what I mean. How can you dismiss those people? Because they look up, those people look up to Kyrie. When Kyrie goes on to Instagram and talks about how the vaccine gives people a connection to the master computer and it's a way for the master computer to enslave black people.
It's unfortunate.
You know, he's not doing that as a joke. He's not doing that as a test of IQ of his fans. He's telling you, hey, if you're a fan of me and you respect me, you should be reading into this. You should be reading into the same stuff that I'm reading into, and this is what I support. These are the views I have. He's really making a pitch to those people. We can't just dismiss those people as dumbasses because those are his followers. Those are his fans.
I guess what I'm saying is like I have dismissed it for a while because before this whole pandemic, it didn't really kill anyone. But what I'm saying now is that his information that he's giving out is affecting people's health and directly affecting possible people's lives that look up to Kyrie and like look into this and say like, yeah, you're right, vaccine. And we know too, like historically, black people, especially in America, are way more hesitant to believe in, you know, government mandates. And if the government is like mandating a vaccine, it's just historically, it's just what's happened to black people that, you know, they're not going to trust the government. Obviously, you can look back, you know, decades that, like, all the different scientific tests that, like, they ran on black populations and stuff to, like, as guinea pigs. It's that's history. Like, that's real life. But, I mean, you assume it doesn't happen now, but I guess Kyrie's still tapping into that psyche where, black people are still being experimented on and they're the guinea pigs and, you know, they're being mind controlled and, you know, all these kind of other conspiracy theories that don't exist now, obviously, but that's what he's tapping into. And I guess that's his defense as to why he's unvaccinated, which is sad because, you know, obviously, like you said, people look up to him. And then secondly, this back to basketball, this is a championship team with Kyrie. Like, this is a no-brainer, like, NBA champion. And without Kyrie, I could say that, yeah, they're still really good. And that's, I think that's what, like, I look at the silver lining. Like, James Harden is really good. Like, I hope he stays healthy. And KD is on a mission. And KD is on a mission to prove that his legacy isn't tied to Kyrie's, like, opinions and antics. He's, like, above that because he's, like, the best. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm excited to see KD just wreaking havoc on all the teams that, like, are starting to... And all the different media, like, all the different outlets, every time he gets asked, every time he's available for an interview, every question is about Kyrie. This is, like, bulletin board firing up material for him. Like, he's hunting now because he's, like, you're disrespecting me by, like, going out after Kyrie. He's not even, like, really part. He's a part-time player. He's not really, like, fully invested into this team. You should be asking questions about the guys that are fully invested and, like, I don't know. That's what I'm looking at as, like, the positive side of things. And like I said, I've always defended Kyrie, but now because of, I guess, this latest episode, this latest crazy opinions, it's, like, it's past the threshold for me now. Like, I've finally given up on Kyrie. Because I used to always, like, joke about it.
I'm proud of you, King.
I used to always joke about it because, like I said, it didn't really affect people's health. It didn't really kill anyone that so if someone believed in flat earth, like, it's just a dumb thing to support. But not getting vaccinated is.
I'm proud of you, King. It's okay. If you need to cry a little, just, it's okay. Let it out. He betrayed you.
Yeah, I think he sort of betrayed everyone, though. Like, I think if you don't get vaccinated, that's on you. Like, don't go into society. Don't, like, go around buying coffee or buying shopping. And, like, if you want to go into be in society, you have to follow the societal rules. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has a right to be healthy. Like, it's like smoking, right? Everyone has a, if you want to smoke, you have a right to smoke. But don't smoke in front of someone else that doesn't want to smoke. That's their right too, so. You know, if you don't want to get vaccinated, fine, but don't go around infecting others with your unvaccinated body, whose right is to want to live and not get coronavirus. It's all the same thing. Like, you gotta respect others. And it seems like Kyrie's not respecting others. He's doing it for himself. He's being selfish.
I think you bring up some really interesting point, and I like that analogy a lot. There's a lot of controversy around wearing masks, getting vaccines, and it's been politicized. You know what I mean. At the same time, there are rules that we deal with and that we accept on a daily basis, and we don't politicize those rules. As an example, for example, you can't be smoking inside of a restaurant. There's dedicated and designated smoking areas around office buildings. If you want to go to school, kindergarten or maybe primary school, you need to vaccinate your child. In fact, they get a whole menu of vaccinations before school. And we accept this as well. Mm. But for whatever reason, with COVID, this thing has become some sort of a statement around taking away our freedom, when there are so many examples in society where, you know, there are rules that we follow and that we abide by.
Interesting tidbit, Americans also protested seatbelts when they first got mandated. So it's like a whole thing, you know, like, people don't politicize seatbelts anymore. Like, you just wear it. You get in the car and you wear it. It's a habit. Like, just like, you know, mask in Asia, it's a habit. You go outside, you wear a mask, not just because coronavirus, but any type of disease or virus that's lurking around. Like, you wear a mask because it not only protects yourself, but protects others. Obvious. It's like win-win, in my opinion. But yes, this idea of freedom, I don't think Kyrie is, like, an anti-vaxxer because of freedom. Like, I don't think that's his agenda. He's an anti-vaxxer because of
stupidity,
government mind control,
master computer.
Yeah, and ultimately stupidity.
I mean, if you said stupidity, that's a little better, right? At least then you say, okay, this guy's just stupid. It's okay. But if you had a bigger agenda, I mean, it'd be even more weird.
It's just like one of those things, like, he's so in the minority in his beliefs that, like, let's just say, God forbid, he's right. You know, like, the rest of us will die out by this computer, I don't know, Terminator, Skynet kind of system, while he's the only one alive. Like, does he really want to live on Earth being the only one right?
Well, this is a thing I asked you.
It's like this.
Like last week, I said, like, if there's really a master computer, why would they want to control Kyrie? Wouldn't they want to pick some smarter people? I mean, Kyrie doesn't really have that many.
I don't think it's about controlling Kyrie because he doesn't want to be controlled. Like, he's saying everyone else are sheep, I guess, for being controlled. Like, we're all controlled because we got the vaccine.
Right. Right.
There's no point reading this. But you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing that annoys me the most. We're coming with all these different, like, side points and like trying to come up with reason for all this. But there's a very simple solution. Get vaccinated. It's the easiest thing. If he just does this simple thing that's completely free, I know that money's not an issue here, but if he just does this thing that is so easy and so simple and can be done even in Barclays, because Barclays was like a COVID, like a COVID vaccination center. Like, he doesn't have to go far, just literally goes to practice, gets the jab, and then can go play. Or not like straight away, but you know what I mean. This is a very simple solution to all this.
They should have a pop-up table, a vaccination table, right in front of his locker. And it'll be like a promo event where, like, you get, like, Kyrie stickers.
It's like on a spring. Like, he opens a lock and it springs out.
It's like all these stabs, right? It's like an obstacle course getting to Barclays.
Yeah.
All these, like, traps that they've set for Kyrie.
It's like,
Kyrie, just be careful of this Halloween, man.
Yeah.
Check like, the candies, Kyrie. This like, check for needles. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, we're trying to decipher, we're trying to rationalize Kyrie's
thinking. Yeah, exactly. We're trying to decipher all this. There's no point.
Because, like, who knows what he's thinking.
Yeah. It's a bit complicated. I think I'm studying. Because this whole Kyrie thing has really made me have to reflect the actions and words of role models in society, basically, and the impact that they make. And usually it's pretty benign, like flat Earth, I think. But there comes a time when you make these movement actions or words that directly correlate with people's health and people's well-being. And I think that's what he's doing. Because more than like sexual assault, which only usually affects, you know, 1, 2, 3 people, like, which is terrible, women, this is affecting millions potentially. Maybe not millions, but thousands of people that are, you know, are ignorant in these matters and only take Kyrie's opinions as truth, are being affected by this and potentially die from this. It's like, it's not an exaggeration. Kyrie could die. I mean, that's unlikely, but it's possible because he's going around, he's going to be traveling, you know, if he's still a part-time player, he's going to be traveling city to city still, not New York and not California, but that's just increasing his chances of exposure to you know, this thing that's killed over 700,000 Americans, way more deadly than any.
You know how Kyrie's all about, like, the Sioux tribe and his people? And the fact that his mother passed away when he was a child, like, she had health issues. And the fact that, you know, Native Americans also are of poor health. And, you know, historically, the Native population of North America, of the Americas, was wiped out because of the diseases that Europeans brought over. If he's so into, like, the history of his people, then he should know better. The vaccine's is a powerful protection of his people.
Yeah, I mean, it is a powerful weapon against diseases, yeah.
He's giving the wrong message, especially the fact that his people need this probably protection more than others. I'm talking about Black people. I'm talking about First Nations people.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to cast all NBA players in the same light, but it seemed like that was a common theme that, I guess especially the Black NBA players seemed a bit reluctant to take the vaccine. It seems like there's a common thread. And we know there's some more outspoken players that are anti-vax. But even like LeBron James's message about being vaccinated, it wasn't like a strong endorsement for the vaccine. It was just like a personal choice that he made for his family and friends, that he felt like it was a personal choice. Like, LeBron's famously not very political when it comes to like non-black issues.
Right.
It's not affecting black people. He's not very vocal about those things.
Space Jam too.
So it was interesting because this obviously crosses both aisles, and he doesn't want to get caught in that sort of that limelight. He doesn't want to be caught for those reasons, which is unfortunate because he has such a big presence in society that, you know, he could make a real difference. But like, once again, it wasn't a huge endorsement from him either. So I'm not saying like I'm not blaming LeBron obviously at all, but I'm saying this just seems like a general sort of reluctance.
It's like the vaccines are available. It's like, oh, the white people, all the rich white people are like clamoring for it, trying to get themselves protected. While like, you know, the poor black people, they're probably the more affected, and yet they're more anti-vax.
Yeah, because this is a historical prejudice.
It's like, we don't want, like, this is not safe. We don't want the white people to control it. It's like, have you seen the rich white people? They're not fucking, they're like going back doors to get their hands on this vaccine. Anyway.
If you really don't want to get vaccinated, that's on you. That's up to you. You're not a boss. But if you're a professional basketball or any professional athlete and you have to travel around and it's basically mandated in your league to get it, then that's a different issue. You know, not all things are equal. And, you know, unfortunately for this issue, they don't have a choice if you want to continue playing professional sports. You know, like, it's a pretty easy decision, but for some of them, it's like, what's that saying? Like, cut your nose to spite your own face or something like that. Like, Kyrie is literally willing to lose millions of dollars just to make this point that he feels very strongly about.
This is a good segue about losing millions of dollars to...
I'll take it.
Huh?
I'm just preempting what you're going to ask me.
But well, yes. What is it going to ask you?
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
100% yes.
Let's do it. What were we doing? Talking about you.
I'm preempting your question. What are you going to ask me? What are you going to say?
I was going to move on to talk about your other favorite player, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do that trade. Give it to me.
Give it to you? It's Kyrie, Ben Simmons, straight up. Why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
First of all, on the Sixers side,
it's not going to happen.
Obviously, Kyrie for Ben Simmons, like, Sixers not going to get anywhere close to Kyrie on any other like trade offer. Mm. Ben Simmons, we haven't really heard much more updates other than the fact that he hasn't reported to camp at all or to the Sixers. Mm. And at this point, the Sixers have held off paying him, or at least has put his paycheck in escrow until he shows up. So it's a bit of a staring contest right now. Because technically, he could show up. He could show up and just like refuse to take a shot and just like sit on the bench. He'll get paid that way at least. Or he could say that, you know, my back is hurt. I need my ankle hurts, and then just sit out, right? So there's lots of excuses you can make to get paid, but he's chosen not to do that, which I think is, you know, commendable. He's just saying, I'm not showing up. Don't pay me. Don't care.
It's also dumb. It's like a two-way dance. Like, you know, there's obviously people that are unhappy with their current team and they want to get traded. But it's a two-way street, because like, just because you want to get traded doesn't mean you should tank your entire trade value, because what's stopping the team that wants to trade for you respecting you or trusting you, like, if you do this again? So basically, Ben Simmons isn't willing to play with the front office to, you know, up his trade value, because the front office, Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, they want to talk well about, like, talk him up and say like, oh no, he's not on trade block, you know, we're not trading him, because they want to like create some semblance that he is of value to the Sixers. Like, the Sixers value Ben Simmons like this amount, whatever that amount is, but this X amount they value Ben Simmons because they're willing to not they're willing to not put him on the trade block. But Ben Simmons is like, no, that's,
we can't trade him because we can't find him. We don't know where he is. I think he's back in Melbourne.
All right, we trade you to Portland.
He's back in Melbourne with Kyrie.
So, I mean, like, Ben Simmons isn't willing. He's not showing up. The smart thing to do, you know, would have been just to show up, like you said, have some undisclosed injury, and just get paid for, you know, being on the bench, basically not starting, and just coach's decision, not, you know, not suiting up. But he didn't do that. Like you said, he did the, which is unheard of. He did the move where I'm not coming at all. You better trade me, and I'm not coming to camp. I'm never coming back to Philadelphia. It's just a weird strategy. Because if I was his agents, they wouldn't have said that. You know, the agents would have said, "Hey, just show up. Like, just go to training camp. Like, just no big deal. Like, you don't have to talk to anyone. Just say you're injured. Like, what's the big deal?" But he's like, "No, I'm off. I'm out of here."
You don't have to talk. You don't have to play.
The agents are fucked up too, because the agents don't get.
I'm saying you're right. Like, he doesn't have to play. He doesn't have to shoot. No one's gonna force him to shoot the ball. And if he doesn't shoot, like, they're not gonna play him. So they're just gonna sit him.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the contract guaranteed. He'll still
get paid. And you can just say, "My back hurts. My knee hurts. Like, I'm an athlete. Yeah. Of course, my body hurts. Right? It's all relative. You can't tell me there's no computer unless you have the master computer to say that. Oh, like we scanned Ben Simmons and his ankle is not really hurting.
I mean, it could be anything. It could be. I mean, like nowadays, you could say I'm depressed.
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe that's a good enough reason for you to be on the injury report. You know, like you don't know.
Can Kyrie put the reason he's not playing as stupidity? You have to pay me. I'm just stupid.
I mean, it's sort of lucky Kyrie is getting, like, is good at basketball, because I don't know what he would be.
Or on the daily game reports, like, reason for like him not being here is stupidity. Oh my god. Right. Okay, I need to calm down. Okay. But I think I gotta ask you, like, at this point, my feeling is that he has no trade value. He has, like, negative trade value, right? I don't care what Daryl Morey says, what Doc Rivers says, what Joel Embiid says. Ben Simmons has zero trade value. And he has less trade value now than he had right after the playoffs, which we thought, okay, that's probably, like, the least, like, that's probably the low point, right?
Well, he has none.
He has none, right? So why did they hang on to him? Like, in other words, it's not like he's going to have more trade value in 2 months' time. Should the season start, he's going to have zero trade value, and he's going to have negative value, because all you're going to be asked about is Ben Simmons. Every game you lose, it's going to be Ben Simmons. They better go on like a 10-game winning streak. Because if they go on a 2-game losing streak, Jesus Christ, like every question is going to be Ben Simmons and how Ben Simmons can help this team and what this team would look like with Ben Simmons.
I think it's in a similar field. Like, there's obviously a huge media headache that they have ongoing, because... I mean, I would like to know. I think it's different. I think this is way more unclear than Kyrie's situation, because Kyrie clearly just doesn't want to get vaccinated. Like I said, that's a simple solution. With this one, there's no simple solution. There really isn't, because there's two sets of sides that want something out of it. Like, the Sixers want to get value out of Simmons. Like, they don't want to trade him for nothing. They want to get some type of value. They've attempted trades like 4 first-round picks from the Kings or something, and the Kings, like, rebuffed that. Or I think Caris LeVert was also in a rumored deal for Ben Simmons. These are obviously, like, you know, not nowhere near Ben Simmons' level, but they're trying to, like, scrape something of some modicum of fair exchange, whatever that is. But Ben Simmons isn't, like I said, Ben Simmons on his side is like, "I don't care, like, what you do, like, just get me out of here." Like, which doesn't seem fair at the same time, because... they're the team that drafted you. They're the team that invested in you.
Please.
They're the team that paid you the max contract. Jesus. You don't think so?
I just feel like you can't.
I think that the Sixers did everything the best that they could to help Ben Simmons get
to it. Trade him this season. Don't give me this talk about this is a team that drafted you. This is a team that gives you the max contract. Well, this is also a team that tried to trade you midseason. And if you suck at basketball, they definitely would trade you. It's a two-way relationship in the sense that, you know, at any point in time, the team should have the freedom to trade you. And at any point of time, you should have the freedom to, like, get the hell out of there. It's not like you're taking their money. You know, if they trade you, if you want out, you're not going to get...
Well, that's what I want to know. That's why it's so unclear. I want to know why that relationship deteriorated so much. Was it Is it because of Joel? Is Joel the main, like, because he's the main star now that Ben Simmons is taking a back seat and he can't take that to his ego? Is it Doc Rivers, the way he's treating Ben Simmons? Was it like prior to that, like Elton Brand, like how he was managing this team, building the team around Joel? Like, these are like so many question marks. This is so unclear, like what's happening, and no one's willing to give a straight answer. And the only one being really honest is Ben Simmons by just being a no-show. But even he's, you know, not speaking to the media, so we really don't know what he's thinking or like how he's feeling.
This is not like a new story that, they lost the playoffs and now Ben Simmons all of a sudden wants to trade. Like, this has like been talked about for years and years, how they're not a natural fit, how they try, like Ben Simmons' game doesn't really fit in that system necessarily. It's not his team. Philadelphia doesn't, their fans don't really like him.
Yeah, but natural fit, those are pretty benign things. Like, you don't go from, like, you know, not taking the shot in the playoffs, giving up a shot in the open shot in the playoffs to, like, abandoning the team. Like, those are completely different things. And they're a perennial playoff team.
Well, I mean, okay, let's be honest. They're not going to go anywhere, okay? They're not going to go anywhere.
Well, I didn't say they were championship, but they're always going to make the playoffs with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, having said that, I mean, I did pick them over the Bucks, I thought, last year. I was wrong.
That was a weird choice all of a sudden.
I was like, I like the size.
Rocky relationship. injured Joel. Yep, this is the time I choose the Sixers.
You're right. It's not the one thing. But I think what people are pointing to as the point of no return was the fact that they try to trade him.
If you think about it, this is all for Tito's fault because he didn't want to do business with Daryl Morey. And, you know, if he did, then maybe Ben Simmons is happy in Houston. Maybe James Harden's happy in Philadelphia. And, you know, maybe it's fine. Instead, Sixers are now having to deal with this Ben Simmons issue. Houston have lost all the things they traded for to get James Harden to give away James Harden in the first place. I don't know who they ended up with. John Wall's bloated contract or something. And the only one that benefits is Brooklyn. So I think it all goes back to the owners. The onus goes on the Rockets owner.
John Wall said that he doesn't want to play in Houston, so they're going to trade him.
Yeah, but at least he's showing up to camp, right?
Like, that situation is not really that much better. Like, they didn't even get anything for it, right? Like, John Wall's not even going to play for you.
Well, I mean, same. Like, Russell Westbrook's basically not playing. I think in the first preseason game, he shot 1-for-7. He might as well just not show up.
This season?
I bet LeBron James wishes they had Kyrie's unvaxxed ass instead of Russell Westbrook at this point.
Okay, stop it. This is preseason. I expect big things from Westbrook. I'm serious.
I think, there's a bigger... Kyrie unvaccinated has a bigger impact than as a part-time player than Russell Westbrook.
I feel disrespectful. Playing guard. I'm going to give it time. I'm not going to comment.
So who would you rather bring up the ball? LeBron James or Russell Westbrook?
Stop it. That's a trick question. It's a trick question. I'm not going to answer it.
Like, I don't want to hate, but it's just funny, you know? It's
just funny. The only thing funny is when the Lakers beat your Nets. Lakers and six, please. Lakers and six. I'm not going to comment on Westbrook right now. I haven't seen him play in the regular season. And in fact, I'm not really going to comment too deeply on Westbrook's play.
That's a coward move.
It's not a coward move. Westbrook, I didn't like the trade. I didn't like the move. But I think we might be underestimating Westbrook a little bit.
Why?
He won like MVP like 2 seasons ago. You don't realize that.
Did you watch him last season?
Yes, I did. I think he was trying to lose the game.
He played well like in the last 10 games up to the postseason. That's because his usage rate was like sky high. He was like carrying he was like averaging a triple double the last 10 games, trying to get to the playoffs. But that was with the ball in his hands. I don't want to see Russell Westbrook's like sitting in the corner three, trying to get like trying to snipe a 3-pointer.
Look, I have no comeback for this. Okay, these are all true. But what I'm saying is, I want to believe that as a winner, he understands his current situation and the opportunity in front of him, which is that he's on now a championship roster. And if he makes some adjustments to his game, this is a winning team. But he, if he thinks he's going to, if he tries to take it over, then obviously this is going to be a disaster result.
Of course they're a winning team. I mean, they got AD and LeBron. Like, that's, you know, of course they're going to win a lot of games. And I think they can make the finals with just AD and LeBron. Like, they're that good. I just think that LeBron, Westbrook's skill set overlaps with LeBron's. And when that happens, I would rather LeBron execute those skills rather than Russell Westbrook, because I think Russell Westbrook at this point is over the hill, and he needs very high usage and very low efficiency to get into it. It's just like, he's one of those players, like, he needs to feel the ball, he needs to get his shots up, and he needs to, like, miss like 4 or 5 shots before he gets into it. He's not an efficient player like how Rondo has developed, where he gets 5-6 shots and he makes 4 of them. You know, he's not going to shoot 66%. Like, he's not that type of player. Yeah, I'm willing to wait and see, but I think he's just a liability at this point.
They have the playoff season and then they have the regular season. I think the regular season for them is, we're going to see more Westbrook. We're going to feature more Westbrook. And when the playoffs come, we're going to feature more LeBron. And I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I see that as a logical point, but I just see this star player having not really accepted his role as a role player like Carmelo has. Like, Carmelo's going to be sitting on the bench a lot more than Westbrook. But Westbrook, by the time the playoffs happen and LeBron's playing up to 35, 36 minutes, that's going to minimize Westbrook's role on this team. And that means he's only going to be playing like 28, 26 minutes. And that's something he's not used to, because he's always been a full-time starter, all-star, MVP, like you said. He hasn't had the experience of being in Carmelo's shoes, of being relegated to a role player yet. And there's just no place for him offensively for him to gel, like, with LeBron. Like, it just doesn't work. Because LeBron's full-time point guard now. LeBron doesn't run down the wing and make cuts, you know, like he used to. He's exclusively at, like, playing point, basically.
So I think it's a good thing that they have people like Dwight Howard on the roster, Carmelo on the roster.
Yeah, of course. I like Dwight. I like AD, of course.
It shows Westbrook, okay, you know, we used to be stars, top of the league, right? And now we're playing our role on this team. And I think that's going to help Westbrook in his transition.
And Westbrook will be like, did you ever average a triple-double?
Okay, did stop it.
Did you ever win an MVP?
Okay, you're right. Look. I'm hopeful. And the fact that it's in LA, this is his home team. He doesn't want to embarrass himself, right? He doesn't want to be... Because believe me, if Westbrook doesn't, like, take his role, the Laker fans aren't going to give him, like, love. They're going to, like, blame him. Just because he's from LA, this is not his team. This is for sure not his team. And it's not his team from the team perspective, and certainly not his team from a fan perspective either.
Should we just... I just want to talk about this. This is the last thing, maybe. But Zion secretly had off-season surgery. You said on toe? I didn't know that. But this is like the thing that has always been...
On his foot, sorry. It was in toe, foot.
On his foot. This is a thing that is always bugging me with bigs. And Ayton may be an exception because, like, he bought in, I guess. He's not a star player. Like, it's weird. Like, he's a first overall pick, but he's not a star player. He's a guy that is so good that you can be like a role player, like almost like a Gobert kind of style player. But Zion needs to be the star player. He needs to be that level of LeBron James level talent, because that's what he's touted as. And all these injuries are taking him out. Like, he's still going to be an all-star level player, but these injuries are impacting him. So all these injuries are impacting his development so much. It doesn't help that he's in New Orleans, where he's getting no help from Stan Van Gundy. Is he still the coach?
I don't know anymore. No.
He's not the coach anymore. It's Willie Green's the coach now. Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't help that he's living in that system, under the GM, I forgot his name. What is the GM's name again?
Just have some respect. It's called David Griffin.
Yeah, David Griffin. It doesn't help that David Griffin is running this team to the ground with such
a star-level
player.
Gail Benson.
And it just shows me, I actually listen to Brian Windhorst's podcast, And he was saying that, one of the guys was saying that, I think it was Tim McMahon, was saying that Robert Sarver pegged Ayton to be the number one overall pick. He wanted Ayton to be the number one overall pick, even though some in the building wanted Luka, because they had a coach that was coaching in Europe. But Ayton was picked first overall. And then you go, I think maybe 1 year or 2 years later, Zion is picked over Ja. But look at what Ja is doing. Ja is like a mini, it's like a young Derrick Rose. Like a young Dwayne Wade. He's playing so good, and he's young and he's athletic. He's in his prime. And he's dunking, he's dunking on you. It doesn't matter if you're fucking Gobert waiting at the rim, he'll dunk on you. But Zion can't even get up. He's injured. He's constantly injured. He doesn't have a great, shooting game. He's not even a great defensive player, to be honest. He's a bit weird. So it just goes to point, I want point guards. I want Luka over DeAndre, or even Trey, for example. And I want Ja over Zion. It's just this running theme where these old heads are still valuing centers and big guys over the young, quick point guard that has a ball in his hands. And it's got to stop. No more. Stop drafting centers, please.
Well, Zion's not a center, and I wouldn't put that on. I mean, look, I don't know.
I know you like Zion. That's the thing, too. To me, Zion is going to be good, but Ja is another level. And that's the people. If Ja had that level of pre-draft hype around Ja, people would say he's lived up to it. But he's far exceeded it, because he wasn't. He was just a college player, but Zion was this generational player since high school, and he has not lived up.
To be on a real team. He's fucking trapped in New Orleans.
What, Memphis is a real team? Do you believe Memphis is a real team? Is Memphis a best?
Okay, good point. I give you that.
DeAndre, for example, DeAndre is on the Suns, and they made the finals. And Zion can't even make the finals with Brandon Ingram.
Come on, the Suns have Devin Booker, and they have Chris Paul. I mean, you can't compare.
Who was Devin Booker before?
Nobody. Paul. New Orleans, Zion's had three coaches in 3 years. What do you want the guy to do? He's confused. The team is confused.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he doesn't have that development, but it's also unfortunate that he keeps having injuries too.
Put that on the organization. If he was in LA where he's in Miami, they're going to go, fuck, we're going to imprison you here in the facilities. You're not going to eat. We feed you. That's it. You know, we're going to do your body fat every day. And we're just going to kidnap you. Whereas in New Orleans, I don't know what's happening over there. Dave Griffin's playing mind games with his players. Stan Van Gundy was comparing his team's defense to high schoolers last year. I mean, what's that about? Right?
I just have to see it. I just have to see it. I'm low on Zion, that's all. I think, yeah, whatever, he makes an all-star, but he hasn't even made the playoffs. Even Ja with his Memphis Grizzlies made the playoffs.
In the All-Star game, he looked lost. He didn't he couldn't dunk. He was missing dunks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was missing dunks.
And you said he was not a great defensive player. At Duke, he was fucking a beast. He was blocking shots. He was blocking three-pointers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, at Duke, he was a great defensive player. For some reason, he's not good at all in the NBA.
I put that on Dave Griffin. That's why I blame it. Huh? Because, okay, look, we knew Zion, his body type, can be an asset, but is also a liability, right? Because he can't put on a lot of weight, and that's probably a lot of wear and tear on his body. And he had some injuries coming into the season. What have we seen? We see Zion get injured every year. And every season, he can't start the preseason properly. He can't go through a proper training camp because there's always some injury. I put that on the organization. You should be managing his weight.
I agree too. I agree too. It's a bad team.
Dave Griffin's going on in the media saying it's no issues. He'll be ready for game one of the season. He's going to come into game one of the season 400 pounds. And then you force him to play. You make him into a point guard? Are you fucking joking? You're going to injure him again. So it's this endless cycle where he doesn't get proper training camp. He doesn't get to ease into the season. There's lots of pressure. Dave Griffin's probably... It's fucking balls are sweating because he feels like he's going to get fired. So he's probably going to overplay Zion. What does he care if Zion gets injured next year or he shortens Zion's career? If he doesn't win this year, Dave Griffin, he's going to be out of a job.
He's definitely out. I think he's out if they don't win a playoff series, he's out. Even if they make the playoffs and they lose the first, he's out. Like, his leash is like a millimeter. He doesn't deserve any more rope. And Zion deservedly should go because he deserves a better franchise. But I'm just seeing him, like, with all the injuries and just the lack of development and the lack of, like, enthusiasm. He just doesn't seem like just a game. You can see it when you watch, because I watched it a little bit because of Steven Adams. But they play well in the first three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, they just go in the shell. They just lose interest. It's bad coaching. It's the players, like, you know, being gassed, basically. Brandon Ingram taking way too many shots, being, like, way too, like too much focus on him being the main offensive output. And I don't know, it's just a bad team. I just feel sad because I'm seeing other point guards in similar situations. They were drafted really high, like Luka with Dallas, obviously drafted high. Trey with Atlanta wasn't seem like a desirable situation when he first arrived there. And Ja Morant with the Memphis Grizzlies. None of these teams are, you know, huge, huge contenders, and now they are. Now they're all, you know, really good teams, and Memphis, except Memphis, but, you know, like, you look at Dallas and Atlanta, like, firmly maybe top five teams in their respective conferences. And the Pelicans, who finished, they finished ninth the year before in an eight team playoff window, finished 11th next year in a 10 playoff window.
Let's just blame it on Dave Griffin. Like, seriously, like, he's, like, done nothing.
Like, how do you get that much worse when you get Lonzo Ball and you know, he's got Steven Adams and you get a second year on around Brandon Ingram.
They had Drew Holiday on that team.
And they got Eric Bledsoe.
He wasn't that good. But, you know, you mentioned they have Ingram. Like, not only did they have Ingram, they had, like, the Lakers' future for the next, like, 3, 4, 5 years, right? They, like, got every Laker young star. Didn't they get, who's the guy in New York now? Julius Randle, wasn't he? Didn't they get him?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I felt like they got, like, every Laker young person, except for Kuzma.
Maybe.
They had Randle, right? I think they had Randle.
Except for Kuzma.
Because I feel like the only person they didn't get was Kuzma, because Magic Johnson loved Kuzma.
Mm. And now Kuzma is in Washington.
Releasing hostage tapes in, like, Washington. It's like, I'm so looking forward to the season. Let's go, Washington. I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to the Pelicans this season.
Yeah, I think they're a team to watch for, like, how bad they can be.
I'm going to be paying attention to see if they pressure Zion to play a certain way, to play more minutes, to try to, like... Because Zion, to be honest, like, Zion needs to be thinking about his long-term future. He needs to be easing in into the season.
Yeah.
Dave Griffin's going to start to apply pressure, like, oh, we need to be a playoff team this season. Because Dave Griffin's worried about his job. But Zion, you need to be careful. You need to take care of your body.
I mean, they're, like, arguably a worse team this year than last year. Because, you know, a lot of exodus and talent. Like, Jonas Valanciunas is a fairly good player. I think he's a better NBA center right now than Steven Adams. But he's, like, it's not a huge difference between, like, it's not like he's going to be scoring, like, 20 points per game. Like, he's not, like, that type of player. He's a better fit.
They trade away Lonzo Ball. Like, Jesus Christ. You want to put all the pressure... Talk about adding more pressure to Zion.
I think it was restricted free... I think it was just a restricted free agent signing. Was it a trade?
Anyway, he's off the team. And where I'm saying, he could have made Zion's job a lot easier.
Not that I agree with this, but I think the strategy was to get rid of Lonzo Ball so that Zion plays the point guard role.
But why? That sounds like more... That sounds more wear and tear on Zion.
Yeah, it can be and it cannot be, because he's not banging in the paint as much, so he's just, like, at the top. But he can't shoot threes, so I don't really know what the point is, except that he can pass it or, like, run in. Like, he can run in lanes if he gets a screen from Valanciunas. But that's weird, like, Steven Adams would have been a great screener. But Zion doesn't have Zion has explosive jumping, but he doesn't have, like, lateral, you know, moving down the court explosiveness. It's not like LeBron was, like, when he was young. Like, LeBron was like a freight train running down the court. Like, he could really move past the first defender. Zion, to me, doesn't have that dribbling, speed to get past players to me. He's just like a bulky, strong, explosive jumper. I don't want to paint that I don't like Zion. Like, I don't think he's like a great player. I think he's a great player. I think he's an all-star level player. But I just think the hype around him being like the next LeBron James, like that was seriously the hype around him. It's just, it's not the same impact nowadays, because guards with balls in the ball in their hands is way more valuable than a center is. And if you're a center, like Giannis, for example, or you know, like just thinking about those type of players like AD, you either need to be like super skilled offensively or super skilled defensively. Zion's not that.
Anyway, we've babbled a lot about Zion. Didn't get to a conclusion about Ben Simmons and where he's going to end up, but I'm sure we'll be revisiting that, Kane.
Okay, well, let's just, last thing. What do you think is going to end up?
I have no idea where he's going to end up. Like, that's the...
Just guess.
I couldn't guess. Like, seriously, I couldn't guess. Like Golden State Warriors, because he said California. Like, he's not going to... If you trade him to Washington, he's not going to show up. That's the problem.
Honestly, it's a blind guess, but I'm just going to guess
Lakers.
The Clippers.
Oh, come on. Get out of here. The Clippers. Jesus.
I just have a feeling something's going to happen. The Clippers get Ben Simmons. Because also, once again, him on the Lakers is just another logjam of point guards. What is Ben Simmons going to do differently than Russell Westbrook or LeBron James? At least on the Clippers, they need a point guard. I know they got Reggie Jackson, but Reggie Jackson can play it off-ball as well. And think about that defensive team.
Oh, God.
Ben Simmons, Kawhi, jeez. Paul George.
God.
they're going to be like 90-70 games.
Oh, my God. Oh, see, you got me excited there.
That'll be fun, right?
That'll be awesome. Fun. Jesus. It's like, can I get past anyone?
They're just like Ben Simmons at center, I reckon.
I'm so tired. I just got past like Kawhi, this robot. And now Ben Simmons here with like his two arms, like grabbing at my, like at the ball.
Poor George and Ben Simmons like double teaming Steph Curry.
Oh my God, Jesus. I like that. Okay. You might have convinced. I have to think.
I agree with you. There's no feel because Ben Simmons hasn't really alluded to anything except for California. So that's just what I'm going off from.
Okay. Before we go, please, listeners, get vaccinated. Get two shots. In fact, you need two. Okay.
Preferably Moderna or Pfizer. Those are the good ones. whatever the Chinese ones.
But look, if you have to, if the Chinese one with a master computer is the only one available, just get it, okay? Joe Tsai says it's free. He needs you to get it. It's for Jack. Do it for Jack. Okay. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.